setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is the Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you make Mondays great again, Ken Coleman.
A warm welcome from Nashville. You are joining a conversation about who you are, what you were born to do, where you want to be, and how you can get there. Welcome aboard. Coming up just shortly, in a minute or less, we're going to open up the phone lines, 844-747-2577. The show email address is ask@kencolemanshow.com. Real fast, I want to say how grateful I am to all of you who are listening to the show. You're telling folks about it. Really, really exciting. The work I have dreamed of doing, the work of my life, is happening every day here on the Ken Coleman Show, and you're a big part of it. We want to help you, and I need your help to help more people. I cannot do this on my own. And I must say, we're excited. The podcast is growing. If you listen on SiriusXM, we also offer the show daily via podcast on iTunes, Google Play, wherever you can essentially download a podcast. KenColemanShow.com is a great resource for you as well. But here's what I would ask you to do. Those of you that are listening on SiriusXM, on the podcast, would you do me a favor? Next time you're listening, if you can remember, I know you got a lot going on, would you share it? Let people know about it. This is how shows and communities and tribes like this grow. Let people know how it's encouraging you, how it will equip them. I would really appreciate that so very much. 844-747-2577 is the number. Let's get to your calls. Jane is on the line in St. Paul, Minnesota. Jane, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I'm fantastic. How can I help you today?
I have a home decor Instagram page, and I'm about to start a blog to go along with that. And I just want to figure out a way to monetize that project. I really like doing it. I feel like I, you know, have something to say, and I know that there's an audience for that.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't really know what to do with it. I need to know what steps to take to make this something that's profitable.
Sure. Well, the first step is get in a consistent routine of posting valuable content. And so this is fun because there's really no pressure on you at this moment, and you need to keep that mindset. Right now, it's about building an audience, and the only way to build an audience is to get people to say, "Ooh, I like what she's posting and I'm liking it." Then all of their friends see it, or they say, "Ooh, I like it. I'm not only just going to like it, I'm going to share it. And then I'm going to refer it." You know, that's the step for you. You want likes, you want people sharing, you want people recommending, commenting, things of that nature. And so that is going to be consistency. What's going to happen in this process, Jane, of being consistent, which I think you get. You're pretty consistent on Instagram, I'm guessing, correct?
Yeah.
Good. How many followers do you have on Instagram?
I don't have a lot now. I have about 3,500, but I've kind of slacked off, so mm-hmm. I've lost quite a few.
Yep.
But, I mean, I'm down to 3,500 or so.
Yeah.
And I haven't really gone forward with the blog.
Yeah.
Because I just didn't really know, you
yeah.
know, what I was doing with it.
Okay,
it's hard to kind of get motivated.
Right. So you've actually figured this out. So everything I just said, that's just a refresher course for you, clearly, because you've gotten that thing up to 3,500, which is pretty impressive. And you've also seen what happens when you kind of slack off, right?
Yeah.
And so the blogging thing, I wouldn't rush to blogging. What I would do first is I would do some research. This is very easy right now for you to research Instagram to a successful blog. I would just type that in, Instagram curators or Instagram to successful blogger. You will see all kinds of things pop up when you Google that. And what you're doing there is you want to see what their path is. So, and that'll help you. Then I would ask this question: what works on Instagram that I can transfer to blogging? So, for instance, you know, a lot of people will just consume you on Instagram, but it's going to take something special for them to go, "Oh, okay, now she is putting stuff on a blog." So for me, I would guess that one technique that would work is for you, whatever you're posting on Instagram, every once in a while, at least on a consistent basis, so start maybe once a week, that you post something on Instagram that piques interest and there is a link in your post. You say, "Okay, hey, listen, this is a something I just did for somebody, and to get the 6 easy steps to do this for less than $400, go to my blog." You see what I'm saying?
Okay. Yep.
So you're using what works on Instagram to transfer those people over to your blog. That's how you're going to grow your blog. And you know this, getting money is all about eyeballs. If you want to monetize it, there's, in my mind, a couple of easy things for you. Number one, you want to get to a point where you can sell some advertisers based on your traffic. That's one way to get revenue. Another way to get revenue is actually sell stuff on your blog. So I'm thinking stuff either that you've created and you have showcased on Instagram and then told people how you did it. And still people will go, oh, that's great, but I just don't have time to do it. I want to buy that from you. So I'm thinking advertising, and you get the name of that game. Two, I'm thinking stuff, okay? And then three, I'm thinking maybe some of your services. Now, again, you got to decide.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So I'm going to sell them stuff I've created, or I'm going to sell them my service, my time, my expertise, my eyeballs. All right? Because that's what you, that's what you're really offering to people. You're giving a little taste of what you do well. And so you've clearly figured this out on some level to get that kind of followership. So those are the next steps. That's how you monetize. And you know this, it's about consistency. And you've already done that. So I think you should be really fired up, honestly. So it's about value, 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 right? Drive people to your site. But you're going to use Instagram to drive them. And don't do it every time. Keep doing the stuff that worked before, but every once in a while, dangle some type of carrot in the form of, you know, stuff, services, or free tips on how I did it.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a really good idea.
Good. Well, I am expecting to hear back from you, Jane. I want to hear how you have launched this site and how you are making X amount of dollars a month, and then eventually you're just tearing it up. You're full-time doing this. But that's how you do it. Value, value, value. 844-747-2577 is the number if you'd like to jump in on the conversation. Let's go to Macomb, Michigan, where Kristen is on the line. Kristen, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely happy to. What can I help you with today?
Well, I have been on the job hunt for just the last couple of months, and I am not getting much feedback coming back from the applications and the resumes that I've sent out, and it gets really discouraging. Sometimes I even just get an email back that, you know, thanks for sending in your resume, but we have filled the position. And just wondering if you have any advice as to how to increase my chances to at least get to the next step of an interview.
Yeah, that is a real challenge for a lot of people. And the mindset out of the gate has to be, you should expect the kind of results you're getting if all that you are submitting is a resume, because it's just not fair. You know, they don't know you. All they've got is a couple sheets of paper. And a lot of times, I know that when I have done hiring in the past, I don't put a lot of weight in resumes. And I think that's across the board, you know, probably true in the sense that they may look at a couple things and they look at it and go, okay, well, maybe you're qualified, but. And I think the people that are getting calls back many times in that situation, like what you're going through, is because there's some connection. Somebody knows a little bit more about them. So, first of all, if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting the same results. That's right. The first thing. So now it's beyond the resume. The resume is actually the least important thing in getting a job, in my opinion. You got to have connections. Connections, connections, connections. So that when the resume goes in, the resume is just, oh, by the way, here's the resume. Like that's, you want to create that mental picture, because that's what you've got to accomplish. So, for instance, at Ramsey Solutions, we have 650-plus teammates. If you apply online, but you don't have some type of personal connection, you might get a call back. But things are going to move a lot faster as it relates to level 1, 2, 3, 4, because we probably have about an 8, 9-step interview process for us. Not everybody does. So right now, you're starting to go, okay, who do I know that has some connections to some jobs that I'm interested in? It starts with, who do I know? And and then after you identify who do I know, you're talking to everybody that you know, going, hey, I'm looking for something like this, and describe it. And the more detail you can give, the better. The more you talk about it, the better. Because here's what's going to happen. Think about over the last couple months, Kristen, that you've been submitting applications. What if you had been putting the same amount of effort into telling everybody you know to be looking for this? Do you know somebody here? Or when you identified those same positions that you've applied for, and if you did this, let me know, but I'm curious, when you've applied, how many have you applied for?
Oh, gosh, probably. I mean, I feel like it's a lot, but I don't know, at least 20.
Okay,
at least.
Well, that's a lot. And this is not to make you feel bad, but how many of those 20, once you applied or before you applied, did you hit your personal network and go, hey, do you know anybody that works here? Do you have a friend who knows somebody that works there? Did you do some research in your personal network to see if there were any connections to any of those 20 roles?
No.
Okay. That's not to make you feel bad. That's just to show you that's how you get your resume out of the pile. Everybody listening to me right now that's in the same boat as Kristen, because I've had several of these calls, you got to get your resume out of the pile. And the only way to do that is a personal connection. It doesn't have to be somebody that knows you well, but it could be, hey, listen, I have a really good friend. I've known him for 20 years. Grown up with them, and we vacation with them, and they were telling me about this gal named Kristen who's applied. Says she's really, really sharp. That's a huge, huge deal, is it not?
Right.
I mean, think about how that changes the game.
Right.
I mean, you can literally see somebody going to the pile, can't you? Going, okay, where is Kristen at? Kristen. Oh, okay, here.
Yeah, I hope so.
Well, I'm telling you right now, the chances of that happening are very, very high based on a personal connection. The person that is hiring needs to know more about you, needs a nudge. That's good. I actually just created that, Kristen. We got to find. So you have to find a way to get the nudge. You nudge that person to a phone call, to a personal meeting, because resumes are worthless if they don't get you into a personal conversation, phone or video conference or personal meeting. And oh, by the way, I would really work on a if you're going to submit a resume, many times you have to do this. How do you stand out? I would also tell you to be as creative and as provocative as possible on a cover letter. Now, think about it.
Okay.
Don't do what everybody tells you to do on all these job websites for cover letter. Throw that in the garbage. I want you to ask yourself this question. If I were hiring and I required a resume and a cover letter, what would get my attention on a cover letter? Mm-hmm. And then I would write that. And by the way, provocative is not a bad word. It's been made bad in our culture, but provocative is I'm provoking, and you want to provoke thought and you want to provoke a feeling, because if you provoke a thought and a feeling from somebody who's looking at your resume, you're going to provoke action and they're going to reach out to you. So what's that look like? Get their attention.
Okay. And is it okay to drop a name that you know of somebody that, you know, works there into that cover letter?
Yes. It's not only okay, it's mandatory.
Okay.
I'd lead out with that right out of the gate. Cover letter.
Okay.
Hey, Fred, Jan Smith told me to call you. Jan Smith told me to apply for this. How's that not going to get their attention?
Right. Okay.
So that's what I mean by provoking some thought, provoking a feeling. Just have some fun with it. My gosh, you know. Start a cover letter with something like, I know this is going to go in a pile somewhere, but you'll regret it if you don't really give me a shot for a conversation. You know, I mean, whatever. I don't know. You don't have to be obnoxious, but be audacious.
Right. Okay.
And
so
listen,
really just catch them.
Yes, but don't quit, first of all, Kristen. Secondly, you got to start shaking your network. And here's the deal. Of the 20, if you've not gotten any response, I don't assume that they haven't hired. I'd go back to those 20. You've already started the first step. I'd work your personal connections of the ones you've not heard back from. Or if you heard hey, we haven't made your decision yet, go back and shake that tree again. But do it the way we just talked about and really think about personal connections there.
Okay. So is it anything that you see posted onto a career website at all, advertising open positions? Is that applying for those kind of worthless if you're not really knowing anybody, or how do you?
Yeah, well, nothing's worthless. I mean, you got to give effort. This is the idea of turning over rocks. The more rocks you turn over, the greater your chances. So you just don't quit. But my point is that if you can at least work on this concept and begin to shake the tree a little bit and go, hey, do you know anybody that works there? Do you know, and just ask that question of everybody you know.
Okay.
I mean, everybody. And by the way, a fun little exercise on this to make this thing come alive for some of you folks that are listening in with Kristen here. You know, the little kind of, I guess it's a party game where you do the 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Have you heard of this?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Where you tie in, you know, if somebody throws a movie at you or an actor and you got 7 chances to connect them to Kevin Bacon, or I think that's 7. Here's the point. Think about 3, 4, 5. It doesn't matter how many different degrees. You're just looking for that personal introduction connection.
Okay.
That's all you're looking for. And trust me, it's probably doable in less than 7. But that's a fun game. But that's the mindset for those of you. And you stay with it. Do not quit. Kristen, your breakthrough's coming. I'm telling you. Do not quit. It's right around the corner. Thanks for the call. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Kinsey, who is on the line in Gaylord, Michigan. Kinsey, you are on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, thank you.
Well, absolutely. Thanks to you for listening to the show and calling in. What can we help with today?
Oh, I'm hoping to get some advice for you about a new job opportunity I might have.
Well, you're in good shape because I have got some advice. I'm absolutely certain of it. So let's go. What's happening?
Well, currently I am a seasonal full-time position with the state of Michigan, and I got a job opportunity to work as a breeding operations manager for a deer ranch in Wisconsin.
Okay, now slow that down, because I heard what you said, I think, but I want to understand what this offer is for. Say that again.
The new opportunity is a breeding operations manager for a deer ranch in Wisconsin.
Breeding operations manager. Oh, breeding. Oh,
yes.
Breeding. Hello.
Yes.
Can you tell I'm not a hunter, Kinsey? I'm slow. I'm slow to the draw. Okay. Breeding. So helping other deer create little deer.
Ah. Yep. Deer, pheasants, elk. Yep.
Oh, this is big business.
Yeah. It's just starting out. So I've been volunteering and helping them out for the last 2 years on the side, and they want me to go full time there now.
Okay, so what's the question then? What do you need advice on?
Well, I'm at a stable job with the state of Michigan, and I'm currently at my hometown in that, but the thing is, it's a seasonal job, and that's where I'm just like, do I take it or not? And
to
go from something stable or not.
Okay, so the state of Michigan has hired you, and you live in your hometown, so that's all nice, correct? Is that what we're saying?
Yes.
Okay,
yep.
But the deer breeding job is seasonal only, right?
No, that's the full-time.
Oh, that is full-time?
Yep.
Well, I don't... So what are you wrestling with?
I don't know if I should go from something stable to something that might not have a very stable opportunity.
Well, why is the deer breeding role not stable in your mind?
It's just a new facility, so I would be creating everything from scratch.
Okay. Is it a company that has been around a while and has some success, or is it a brand new operation?
Brand new.
The company itself?
Yeah.
Ah,
they've been around for about 3 years, so they just want to expand everything now.
Okay. Is there some information that you have that I don't have that makes you think like this might not work, other than they're just opening up a new station and they've only been around 3 years?
Well, it's more personal because like I have all my experience, and with my degree is all in fisheries. Mm-hmm. So I don't have much experience with wildlife, but I mean, with them knowing how I work and my dedication and that I put into my work, they have no fears of me doing this position, but I do for my personal.
Yep. Yeah. I think this is all fear. I think this is complete irrational fear, by the way, not picking on you, but just, we need to call it what it is, because you're not sure how it's all going to play out, and it's a new company. And so you're coming up with all these excuses. Well, it's a new company. Only been around 3 years. Kinsey, that may not be smart. You got a really good job. You live in your hometown around people you grew up with. You're coming up with all these reasons, and it comes down to you've never done this position before. And so there's some natural trepidation and anxiety about something like that, because it's not exactly what you were trained to do. And so all these other circumstances that you've thrown at me are a result of your fear, which means you're asking yourself, Kinsey, do you have what it takes? And you're kind of feeling right now like you don't have what it takes, correct?
Oh, yeah. I'm terrified.
Okay. So, hey, that's great. Now, let me ask you another question. Let's switch gears because that's all negative. When you heard about this job offer, take me back. Was it a phone call, an email, a personal discussion? What was it?
I mean, it's been since I'm really close with the general manager and the operations manager, since I've been working with them for the last 2 years on and off. I mean, it's all three.
Right. So my point is, when they made the offer, do you remember that moment? How long ago was it?
A couple weeks ago.
Okay. I want you to go right back to that moment. Okay. I'm not being silly. I want you to go back to the moment 2 weeks ago when they officially made the offer, and in your brain, you registered, they just offered me a job being an operations manager for breeding deer. Do you remember the moment?
Yeah.
Do you remember the exact moment? How did you feel when they told you? How'd you feel? What were the emotions?
Excited.
And?
I mean, I was just really thrilled that they offered me such a high responsible job.
Yeah. And let me ask you this. What is the pay right now that they've offered compared to what you're doing right now for the state of Michigan?
It's about 10 grand more.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, Kenzie, you called me. I just want to clarify this. You called me for my advice, correct?
Yes.
And as I recall, the advice was, Ken, should I stay with my stable job in my hometown for the state of Michigan, or should I take this job doing something that I am really excited about, and I make $10,000 more? Do I have all the facts correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're laughing because you know where this is going. Kenzie.
Oh, yeah.
Kenzie, the stable job working for the state of Michigan will be there. If you fail spectacularly for this company, you're not going to die. If you fail spectacularly for this company, you're not going to starve. If you fail spectacularly in this new role, your friends and family are not going to stop loving you. What else are you afraid of? It's nothing to be afraid of. It's all in your head. And I feel you. I understand that. That's real. But you got to go back to the emotion, to the moment that they offer the job. That's why I walked you through that exercise. You were pumped and excited. You should have said, absolutely, when do I start? Have you gotten back to them yet?
No, not yet.
Are you going to get back to them today?
I'm going to, yeah.
Yeah, I want you to hang up and call them.
Okay.
All right, I'm putting you on hold. Kenzie, you are now to call these people and say, I am so honored, humbled, and out of my mind excited. I was trained for fisheries, you know that, but you also know my work ethic, you know my character, and I cannot wait to grow this business with you. I'm ready to go. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and then just hang up the phone. I mean, Kenzie, this is so exciting. Thank you for calling. Not for me. Thank you for calling for you. 844-747-2577 is the number. Go, go, go. Joe, I already put her on hold. Pick her up. Tell her to go. She needs to call these people right now. I'm fired up. Fun stuff. Hey, folks, can I just do a little rant? For those of you that are in a similar situation as Kenzie, an opportunity has been presented to you, and you just don't feel right about it. I don't want to minimize that feeling, because you need to dive into why you're afraid. Because almost 99.9% of the time, it's fear-based. What is the fear? What's driving the fear? You have got to get honest with yourself and talk to somebody. I'm here for it. You can call me. It's not going to cost you anything. 844-747-2577. I'm here. I'll walk you through it. Because there are times where that fear instinct is absolutely something we need to pay attention to and go, whoa, should stay away from this. But if it's a great opportunity and you don't want to call in and walk through it, do the exercise that I just did with Kenzie. Go back to the moment when the opportunity was presented. What were the emotions you had? The initial emotions. That's what you need to listen to. And let me tell you why I'm saying that. It's your heart. Now, your brain can get involved, and many times does get involved. But that initial feeling that Kenzie had was her heart going, oh my gosh, this is something that I know I would love to do. Yes, I would love to do this. This sounds very, very exciting. And then almost instantaneously, oh, but I got a degree in fisheries, so I've never, I don't have any training or any education in wildlife. What a, oh boy. Oh, boy. You know what? What am I doing? Why am I even considering this? I got a stable job and I live in my hometown and I get to see my friend Susie that, well, you know, we were next to each other in the yearbook picture. And you see what happens? Just a little bit of self-doubt turns into all these very logical reasons why you shouldn't take the opportunity. Folks, this is a perfect time. I'm telling you something. I've offered this. This is not an ad. I have an audio book. Okay, my book, One Question, came out in 2013. I want you to listen. This is not a book pitch. This is a free resource for those of you who are facing this anxiety issue right now that Kinsey was facing. It's the fear of the unknown. I talked to Jim Collins about this. World-renowned researcher, wrote Good to Great, arguably the best business book ever written, based on real research. What made companies go from good to great? And I asked him one time in this book, for this book, one question. I asked him, why don't people try to be great and go for greatness in their life? And he said, we're afraid of the unknown. And that's what Kinsey just laid out for us. There's no shame in that, but you've got to own it. I'm afraid of the unknown. I don't necessarily know if I'm going to succeed in this. It's not about that. You have to ask yourself, do you want to succeed in it? That's the answer you're looking for. Do you want to do this? Do you want to succeed in this? Here's another way of asking yourself the question. If I could look 10 years down the line and see wild success as a result of this opportunity, would I just be out of my mind excited that I made this decision right now? And if the answer is an overwhelming yes, then go do it. But go listen to Jim Collins' answer. It's audio. It's free at kencolemanshow.com. Just go to the homepage and get it and listen to it. It's like 4 or 5 minutes long. That's it. You got to hear it. Listen to him walk you through what goes on in our brain. Listen to your heart. Caller after caller on this show, I mentioned time and money. Specifically, how much time is it going to take for you to get where you want to go, and how much money is it going to cost to do what you need to do to get where you want to be? So speaking of time and money and making your life better, my friends at FilterBuy are doing this. They have changed our life. Their filters showing up at my door when I need to change them. Obviously, huge. Saving money for me, my monthly energy bills, extending the life of my HVAC system, and more importantly, in the winter season, and it's helping with colds and allergies and all that good stuff. So it's the first of a new year. Why don't you put some convenience and quality in your life? They'll ship free within 24 hours right to the door of your home or business. 5% off if you sign up for auto delivery. You set it and forget it. And it's going to change the way you operate when it comes to your air filters. This is a life-changing service. Go to filterbuy.com. That's filterbuy.com. Thanks for joining us here on The Ken Coleman Show. This show is totally dedicated to helping you discover, plan, pursue, achieve, receive, and give the stages of significance. We want to have you join the conversation, 844-747-2577. You can also email us if you'd rather go that route. Just send me a detailed question so that I can answer with like detail. Ask at kencolemanshow.com, 844-747-2577. Eric is on the line in Stillman, Illinois. Eric, you're on The Ken Coleman Show.
Hello, Ken, and thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely, Eric. How can I help today?
I'm a little confused about what I should be doing. You know, you say that everybody has a calling. I don't know that I've actually found that. I don't know that I'm actually passionate about any certain one thing. So a little bit confused about what I should be doing and where the direction I should be going.
Okay, all right. Well, let's first look at this question. Do you have a clue as to why you don't think you're passionate about anything? When somebody says that to me, there's something going on way behind that. Do you have any sense of why you think you don't know what you're passionate about?
Well, it could be partially related to a broad education and broad training. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of different fields that I've worked in, that I've been trained in.
Uh-huh.
But none of those have actually developed into much of a long-term career.
Okay.
Or job.
All right, let's switch gears. Let's just talk about the things that you do better than most things. So every person, I don't care who they are, has some talent. And I promise you, Eric, you do have some passion. We'll figure that out in a minute. But let's talk about the things you do better than most things. What are your top? When you look at you, and if I were to interview everybody that knows you, what would they say your top talents are?
Well, I'm very detail-oriented. That comes from 26 years in the military and being a paralegal as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that's probably what most people would say about me, is very detail-oriented.
Okay.
My previous manager mentioned that I was more or less a black-and-white person rather than a gray area person.
Okay. Well, that's how your personality kind of wires mm-hmm. you. But how do you use those? Let's keep going on this. How do you use your strength of managing or handling details? How have you seen that play out? Give me a couple other talents maybe around that or related to that. What else?
The details, like right now I'm a electronics department head at a lighting company.
Mm-hmm.
And I consistently find things that are not in the normal preparation of the equipment. I'll consistently bring up to attention to smaller details that might have some play in the normal use on the road when they go out for shows or whatever.
Okay. Would you call that on some levels some strong analytical abilities?
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Okay. So I'm trying to get your juices flowing. So you're good with details, but how are you good with details? So you're good at analyzing. You can look and see, okay, this is not – are you a guy who recognizes patterns well, or is that what we're talking about here? Have you ever been good at puzzles? Give me something else. What do you know that you just naturally are very gifted at?
I think I can find more of an underlying story and mm-hmm. when it comes to some details.
Okay.
I'm here at my current job. I'm kind of a person that they go to ask, like, how is the morale in the company, that kind of thing.
Oh, okay. So so would you say that you've got some people skills?
I do, but I'm an introvert, so I know I am. I'm not a real outgoing person.
Yeah, but see, that's another thing.
I can talk to people.
Yeah. See, by the way, I interrupted you here because there's this myth out there that introverts don't have people skills. All that simply means is that you enjoy time by yourself, and naturally that's kind of your default mode. But introverts can have wonderful people skills. So let's identify that. Would you say that your ability to communicate one-on-one doesn't matter whether you're introverted or extrovert, but is that one of your top skills, being able to read people, being able to communicate with them?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So
I think so.
All right, so we've got at least a couple of top skills here, all right? So let's go back. You've had a varied career, obviously you've done a lot of things. You were in the military 26 years. Even if we got to go back to adolescence or maybe your early 20s, I want you to feel this answer, and I don't want you to think. I want you to just blurt it out. Don't run it through your brain and cycle it through. Just throw me an answer. When was the last time, and it could be yesterday, when was the last time you were doing some type of work, some type of function where you really felt great energy, you were excited, you lost track of time, you felt good when you were engaged in that?
I would say employment-wise, it would be one of my best years in the military, and that was when I was what they call, the Army calls, an orderly room clerk.
Okay.
The Army had organized a new company to do a certain level of maintenance, and I was chosen to be the orderly room clerk because I had, I don't know what they saw in me, but...
What'd you love about it? What'd you love? Tell me, take me into that. Okay, take me. What was the role? What did you love so much about that role of orderly room clerk?
I was more or less the administrative go-to. So it would have been more of a executive admin assistant. I worked directly with the upper enlisted and the officers in charge of the company.
Okay. Give me day-to-day.
Everybody had to go through me mm-hmm. to do any administrative functions. I processed all the leave. I processed the key... You know, key security, physical security of the helicopters, okay, and keys to the helicopters, that kind of thing.
So try to boil that down for me, because I'm hearing you, and I'm tracking, I'm making notes. But what about that role did you love so much? I understand what you're doing now day to day, but why do you think that that just gave you great juice and you really enjoyed it?
The higher levels had faith and trust in me.
Mm-hmm. And it just,
I think that was the big thing.
Yeah. You felt some pressure to deliver and use your organizational skills and keep things running smoothly. Is that correct?
Plus other people relied on me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was helping them at the same time.
All right. Now, you said something earlier. You said, when I asked you the question of what was the last time you did something you really, really loved and you felt time escape from you and you felt the juice and the energy and all that, your answer was, well, career-wise, it was this, which makes me believe there's something else. So what was that something else that wasn't career-wise experience, as using your words? Where were you going to go with that?
Most of the time when I lose time, I'm playing video games. But that's more or less what I do nowadays.
I understand you're scoffing at that, right? But I don't necessarily want to scoff at that. Now, that could be hobby level stuff, but you know, is there something going on there? Is there something else like that beyond video games? What else?
Doing research in grad school, doing research, or when I was doing my paralegal work, just doing research and trying to find the solution to something.
Okay, so now that is really intriguing to me. Now, that's the first time on this phone call I've seen everything that you've told me so far line up in a nice little pattern. So let's just review for you, Eric. We're talking about, you're a guy who is detail-oriented. You're very good at details. We see that come through with analysis in your current role. You loved the role of orderly room clerk because I believe, you didn't say it this way, yes, people were counting on you, but you were a guy that you were like a conduit. You had people below you coming through you with important information and processes, and then you had people above you that needed you to be that conduit and make sure everything was flowing smoothly. And I think if you put all that together, and when I hear you really enjoyed research, here's where the passion comes in. So everything we've talked about so far has really been about work that you're good at, and we all enjoy doing work we're good at, but passion comes in when it begins to connect to your heart, and you go, I'm using my skills to do work that I love because of the results that's attached to the work. So research, I think you need to be doing some exploration and discovery into what type of research, Eric, would you really love to do, because you know that the research that you would be involved with would produce results in an area that you care deeply about. This is where values comes in. Talent is what I do best. Passion is what I love to do most. Values is what I care most about. When you can put all that together, that's what the sweet spot looks like. So is there a certain thing that if I could give you whatever money you needed, Eric, you would love to spend your time researching because there's a connection to you? What comes to the top of your mind?
Well, I've actually recently looked into that as far as research goes. I was looking at the potential of getting a master's in library information science, or looking at Pepperdine Law and doing arbitration, and the third one, it escapes my mind right now.
That's okay. Hey, you know what? That's okay. This is awesome. Eric, I'm so fired up right now. I don't even care what the third one is, because you know what it is. It'll come to you as soon as you hang up. Here's what I want you to do. I want you, when you hang up, at some point, I want you to spend some quiet time today while it's fresh. And I want you to write out those three different career tracks that you just laid out, two of them. I couldn't say the first one. I don't even know. I couldn't repeat it to you, but I know what you said. And then the loss situation and then whatever the third one is. And I want you to write them all out on one sheet of paper and give each one of them a column. And I want you to write all the pros and cons on each one, and I want you to then look at them and go, if money wasn't an object and someone could snap their fingers and give me one of these three, which one would fire me up the most? And I think the answer to that is going to lead you down the path of further discovery. Okay, what requirements what am I going to have to do education-wise? How much time is that going to take? How much is it going to cost? And now you've got a very, very clear picture. But I actually think you do have some passion. And I think you need to stop saying that. You started the phone call going, I don't know if I have any passion. And that's incorrect. there are things you're passionate about. What would you use that law degree for? Whatever that description of the first role, what would you use that for? Why does that fire you up? When you are doing a research-based job, what you're looking for, Eric, is the connection to your heart. Going, this research matters most to me because ... Answer that sentence. When you do that, you're going to have the clarity that you've been looking for as it relates to work that you're most passionate about. And, you know, 26 years in the military, all the skill sets you have, I think it's clear as a bell. I don't know which one it is, but it's one of those three or something similar to one of those three. Now you just got to play it out. Just put yourself in a time machine. Play it out. The best case scenario in all three of those, what would it look like if you could just wave a wand and make it happen? Because when you do that, folks, and Eric, that visionary creative process will automatically give you the winning answer. Because as you're thinking about it and visualizing, the heart quickens. For real. Like, this is not me being, you know, mamby-pamby here. This is real. This is a physiological change in your body when we think clearly about a desired future. It's that simple. Appreciate the call, Eric. Really, really excited, man. Really excited. You're real close. 844-747-2577. We close every show with a quote and a question, and quote to inspire thought, a question to inspire action. Today's quote comes from Anne Frank. How wonderful it is that nobody need wait a single moment before starting to improve the world. I love that. Such a wonderful statement. She uses the word wonderful. You know, we don't use that word enough, by the way. Try plugging that one into your vocabulary over the next week. How wonderful it is that nobody need wait a single moment before starting to improve the world. So today's question, I think it's pretty obvious. How can you start improving the world today? It's not a huge thing. It's a little thing. And you don't have to wait. Just start improving the world around you today. Our time is almost up, but before I let you go, you matter and you've got what it takes. Thanks for joining us here. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.